Good, good. All right, let's take our Bibles and be in Galatians chapter 2. We added another week to our series on the law. I just thought it was too important and too much of the Bible as far as understanding the Old Testament, the New Testament, and what we're under and all those things. I had so many loose ends, and more than anything, I had so many verses that we never got to that I just wanted to read. And so the title tonight is The Christian Law Number 5, What Not to Do with the Law. What Not to Do with the Law. And we could also call it tying up all the loose ends. But what not to do with the law. We've discovered we're not under the law, certainly, and the law can't save us, and we're under grace. And last week we did liberty, and what is Christian liberty. And so this week I want to say what not to do with the law. Galatians 2. And we'll start at verse 21. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness is come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. O foolish Galatians, remember the Galatians, they were the Christians in Galatia, which is a region of Asia Minor, Turkey. And it was a region, it was a bunch of churches. And the Jews had come to these churches, and they were trying to tell the Gentiles, hey, just because you accepted Christ doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You've got to go under the law now, and you've got to, you're not saved if you don't get back under the law. You got to be circumcised. You got to keep the dietary laws. You got to keep the holy days and all those things. And the whole book of Galatians is a complete refutation of that. And let's see, chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, capital S, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? How'd you get saved? It said. Did you get saved by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? You're saved by grace through faith. And so, verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And so he says, hey, you've had people do miracles among you, the apostles and the signs and wonders that were done among you. Were they done by the law, or by grace and faith? He's saying, don't go back. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, help us understand your word. Help us to see all these truths. Lord, we have a big pile of verses to read tonight, Father, and your words will probably be as many as mine tonight, Father, and I pray that you'd help us to see your words and see what you say to us and help us understand what the law we should not, the interaction, the relationship we should not have with the law now. And Lord, you spend a lot of time on this, and so we ought to understand it. And I pray you'd help us one more way in clarity to understand the law. We've talked about what ways we're under it and what parts of the law we're not under and what parts Christ fulfilled and everything else, Lord. And I just pray tonight you'd help us to get this truth. Speak to us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit make us stronger and refresh our spirits and help us just to be better Christians through this lesson. Just make a difference in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first thing I want to say is don't go back to the law for salvation. That's the first thing he's going to say. That's the most important thing said in the book of Galatians. The most common thing is do not go back to the law. Now, it is stunning. I just marvel. I talk to Christians who say, well, yeah, you have to accept Christ, but you know, you got to live it too. You got to have good actions to be saved. Not understanding, yes, good actions are an evidence of your salvation. But good works could not save you before you were saved. Why are they going to save you now? And how many of them think that? And how many Christians think that? Do they not read the book of Romans and the book of Galatians? It just says it. And it says, are you so foolish? Verse 3, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? That seems kind of clear to me. And don't go back to the law for salvation. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So it's hard to elaborate when God just says it, but don't go back to the law to complete your salvation. Don't go back to the law to keep you saved. Don't go back to the law. It is anti everything in the Bible. Chapter 3, and to go a little farther, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth these things shall live by them. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Okay, it says, the law, you're going to live by doing it. Well, we read last week that you have to do the law perfectly. And James says you're offended at one point, you offend it all. The man that doeth these things shall live by them. You must live perfectly. That's why the law was really never to save. And because it never could save anybody. Chapter 4. And again, the whole book of Galatians about this, through chapter 2, chapter 3, verse, chapter 4, and chapter 5, all of them. And chapter 4, and let's see, verse 9. It says, but now, after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, wherein ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Chapter 5. Verse 1, stand fast therefore in a liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. They're saying you're Gentiles, you must go be circumcised now. Verse 2, behold, I say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. It says, do not go back to the law to save you. This is what it says, okay? So, works couldn't save you before you're saved. They aren't going to save you after you're saved. You're still a sinner. You still come short. The purpose of the law is still not to save you. Those things didn't change when you said yes to Jesus. Okay? So do not go into that thing. The devil will tempt you to do it. The devil will always tell you, you got to be good to be saved. He's always trying to get us away from Christ and trust in him alone. I understand, once you're saved, the Spirit comes inside of you. He does a work, and it's a fruit, it's evidence of salvation. I get that. It is he that God who both worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. God works in you, and the Holy Spirit's inside of you. But if you are trusting those good works, instead of those good works coming out as evidence, then you're trusting the wrong thing. And you're going back to trusting the law, and the Bible says, do not do that. Number two. Don't get sidetracked in all the minutiae or details of the law. Don't get sidetracked. Now, we've said before, there is nothing wrong with keeping the law. Okay? You want to keep the Sabbath the way they did in the Old Testament? The Bible doesn't forbid that. You want to eat the Old Testament diet? Probably better for you. Nothing wrong with that. As much as we joke about the love of pork and bacon, it actually isn't very good for you. And, it's not a bad thing if somebody wants to do that. If you want to go and celebrate Passover, have at it. There's nothing in Scripture says don't do it. It's just you understand you don't have to do that. And what happens is if someone starts getting law heavy again, they begin to get weird. Okay? Now, I've seen this before. All of a sudden, they find something in the Old Testament and say, we should be doing this today. And here's the thing. And we'll read verses on this. They get, as I call it, occupied therein. And pretty soon, they're like this with one little thing of the law. Look, the only thing the Bible says is you have to do this thing. That's what they do. And they become occupied. And they don't think there's anything else in the Bible. I've done this so many times with people, and I just do it now. And I just laugh at it because I know they're not going to change because they're already loony land. Because once you start in loony land of occupied in some strange, obscure doctrine, you're going to go to loony land completely. Okay, you start off getting the brochure, and pretty soon you're loony with the rest of them, and you're not going to change. But I'll just say to them, I say, "What's the most important doctrine in the Bible?" And they'll say, "It's a Sabbath day," or they'll say, "It's not doing this," or "It's the Masons," or whatever it's going to be, the loony land stuff. Whenever they get to that, I'll say, "How about inspiration of Scripture?" "Oh, well, yeah, that's yeah." "How about salvation? Is that important?" "Well, okay, yeah, that's important too, but you know, everybody misses out on this one important doctrine." "How about the Trinity? Is that one important?" Yeah, you don't get in these obscurities, and you do these things, and you don't want to go there. Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 9. "But now, after ye are known of God, or know God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, the law, that needs the flesh to be perfect? Run to your desire again to be in bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years." These people all of a sudden are saying, "No, the real way you say God is this. And the real calendar is this." Stop. Okay? It says don't get so occupied with that stuff. Relax. Relax. Okay. Relax. I always laugh when somebody says they're gonna keep the Sabbath day. You don't know what that means. Yeah. Somebody travels to a church on Saturday, you just violated the Sabbath. You went too far. You don't even know what you're talking about. And you don't even understand. You get the wrong day. And it's the wrong time of day. And it's stop. And by the way, you're celebrating Saturday on the sun calendar, not the lunar calendar of the Bible. You're all wrong. Listen, he that esteemeth the day esteemeth to the Lord. And the Bible, I mean, it's, stop. Just relax. And don't get weird. Titus. And Titus chapter 3. It's a strange thing to me. I think conspiracies and I think weirdness, I think it's entertaining to me. I love talking to crazy people. I relate to them, I think. But when I love hearing all the crazy stuff. I love hearing it just if it didn't ruin lives and get people weird. And pretty soon they can't go to church because no church really knows the truth. None of us read the Bible except for you. You're the only one. You're amazing. And if it didn't do that to people, it didn't make them strange and loony. And it's fun, but it's not fun because it makes people get distracted. Titus chapter 3, which is what the Bible's going to tell us not to do. Verse 9, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." Pretty clear? Let's go to 1 Timothy, back a few pages, 1 Timothy chapter 1. "We're not under the law, so quit being so testy about it and studying so much minutia." Verse 3, "As I besought thee to abide at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do ye. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned." Stick with that stuff. "From which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor of where they affirm. But we know the law is good if a man use it lawfully." And we're going to get these verses later, so I won't read them now. And we'll get to them. I don't want to read them twice. You can't do that. And but the book of Colossians and chapter 2. Colossians 2. "And you being dead in..." Verse 13, sorry. Colossians 2, 13. I'm going to read kind of a lengthy passage. "And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances," that's all the ordinances of the law, "that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing to the cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ." It's not the big picture. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding to those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God." Notice how it's just saying, hey, listen, Christ is the head. He's nourishing us up. It's not all these obscure things that judge each other and fight about. It's the big picture. And you don't want to do that. So do not get sidetracked with all the minutiae and small details of the law. It would seem self-evident, but it happens sometimes. And not everybody who's messianic does that. There's a lot of messianic Christians now, and some of them are balanced and fine. And we've had several of them come to our church over the years who check us out, and they like us, and we get along fine with them. But there's some who get real strange. And there's some part of the law you got to keep, or you're just all messed up. And I mean, me just curious. I mean, we had several guys come in, and they looked Jewish, and they weren't, but they had all the Jewish things to them, and they're wearing these certain coats, and they had the little zoot things on hanging in their coat that are the tassels hanging off. And I said, why do you wear those things? And he was so excited to explain it to me that it's an Old Testament thing, and these colors mean this and this and this and this. Fine. But as soon as that guy starts saying, you don't have one? What's wrong with you? You know what? You don't even know about the power of God. Then you're in loony land. Okay? And you forgot the big thing, which is how about the power of the Holy Spirit? How about the Holy Spirit himself? Not a little string hanging from your coat. Okay? And so you don't want to get sidetracked with that stuff. Number three, don't forget the points of the law. Don't forget the points of the law. And let's go back to Galatians. We read this last week, so I won't spend too much time on it. First of all, it's a teacher to bring us to Christ. The law gets you lost, so you come to the Savior. That's the purpose of it, and the first purpose of it. Galatians 3, verse 24, wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Okay, so it says that. And so it's don't forget the point of the law. The point of the law is not to rule you. The point of the law is not to confuse you. The point of the law is not to make you Jewish. The point of the law was to say, oh man, I'm not keeping all those commandments. 613, and I think I break about 600 of them. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I have lied. I've done this sin. I've done that sin. You kill people for those things in the Bible. Lord, I need Jesus. That's the purpose of the law. There's no more purpose. That's it. It's to bring it. The number one purpose of the law is to point to Jesus and say, you need a Savior. The Lamb has to be slain. First thing John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It was all about that. And secondly, it's to understand how bad sin is. Romans chapter 7. Don't miss the point of the law to bring us to Christ and to show us how bad that sin is. And I think this is something that we don't do. This is why one reason why the Old Testament is not obsolete. Because it shows you how God feels about sin. Yes, the New Testament is full of mercy and love and compassion. Everyone focuses on Jesus and not killing the woman caught in adultery and go and sin no more. And it's beautiful and wonderful and great. But understand, the Old Testament is still there that says God hates sin. And there was a reason they brought her to Jesus, because the law did say to kill her. Because God thinks adultery is awful. See, if you get rid of the Old Testament, you get mushy Christianity that it really says there's no lines. There is lines. And God said, I'm going to make it so strong of lines, I'm going to show you how I really feel about it. Do you want to know how I really feel about it? Let me show you the punishment for this sin. And he shows us in the Old Testament that sin might be clear in just how much God hates it and how bad it is. Romans 7 and verse 13, wasn't that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. Talking about the law. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Okay? Bible says sin needs to appear exceedingly sinful. Yes, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for homosexuality. It was really wicked. That's how God feels. Now, does God have compassion? Does God want to save people? Did God want to save people in all sin? Yes. Does he love them anyway? Yes. But Old Testament, the law, it lets you see. And sometimes you say, whoa, that's quite the punishment for that sin. Well, I'm glad I'm not in the Old Testament. Why? Because God is, he says, I want you to understand, I'm a holy God. It is not in your realm to understand how I feel about sin. You don't understand the wages of sin is death. You don't understand one sin separates you from me. You don't understand when Adam and Eve took a bite, I said, you know what? Out of my presence. You don't understand holiness. You're humans in a sinful world. You have a sinful fallen mind. You don't understand how I feel. I'm going to show you just how I feel. And you're just going to say, wow, God must really hate that. It gets you lost. It gets you to Christ. It makes you understand that sin is not a game. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And the law does that. The law makes sin appear exceedingly sinful. And so it does that for us. Next, we said don't forget the points of the law. Let me give you a point so far. Number one, don't go back to the law for salvation. Number two, don't get sidetracked with all the details of the law. Number three, don't forget the point of the law. Number four, don't live for the law, live for the Lord. Don't live for the law, live for the Lord. Let's go back to Galatians. And the next couple points are what I haven't emphasized as much during this series, and hopefully they can help you grasp something that I think is very profound about the Christian life. Galatians 2:19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now, chapter 5. So he says, I'm dead to the law for a reason. That I might live unto God. And then in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, for brethren, you have not been called unto liberty, or you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty, that's liberty, remember, liberty is being set free from the law, only use not liberty as an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. If I can illustrate this, this and kind of the next point, but so you're set free from the law. You are not set free from the law just to go back and serve the law. You are set free from the law to go and serve God. Remember we illustrated that with the bondservant. The bondservant can be set free by his master, but then he said, no, I love my master. I want to stay with my master, and I want to serve him the rest of my days. Then they could go and become a bondservant that was free, yet now he willingly went back and served his master, Exodus 21. And we are set free from the law, so now we can serve God. The problem becomes, as many people who understand that God hates sin and understand all these things, they get to be rulesy, and they think that it's all about the rules. Now, understand, if you don't understand that there are commandments of God, remember, you say, we're under the grace. Okay, grace said, the law said, don't commit adultery. Grace said, don't look with lust. It was stricter. Okay? And so we see the grace is very demanding. However, grace is willing. Grace is not doing it by fear. Okay? You serve someone because they got a whip over your back and about to whip your back. That's one thing. You go and serve your family even harder because you love them is a different thing. We are set free from the law, so now we can say, okay, Lord, I am not underneath a bunch of rules to get to you. I have you now, and you love me, and you made me accepted in the beloved. I am now going to serve you willingly, not because I'm afraid, not because I fear. I am been set free from the law that I might become your servant. And now, Lord, I'm serving you from the heart because I want to. Does that mean you don't have rules? No. It just means the rules are not rules. Jesus said, and my commandments are not grievous. The do I have to Christianity is very icky to God. Okay? And it leads me to the next point, because my next point elaborates on that, and I think it's probably the thing we grasp the least. Now that you're saved, you do not need the law. Okay? Let me take you to 1 Timothy and read these verses very carefully. Now that you're saved, you do not need the law or law in general. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is where we haven't traveled at all, and I want to focus on this. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now, the end of the commandment, okay, is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So, what's the end of the commandment here? What's the let's use the term big picture. The purpose, what it's all about. Now, I think this way in every way. I think everything big pictures. And so I see this and I say, yeah, that's what I want to know. The end of the commandment, the purpose, the goal is what the word end there is really closely defined as. The end of the commandment is charity, love. The verses are going to say that in a while. Out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That's the end of it all. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor of where they affirm. But we know the law is good. Huh. If a man use it lawfully. Okay? Watch. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, and for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy, for profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and menslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menslayers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be anything contrary to sound doctrine. It says the law is good if it's used lawfully, but it is not used on good people, it's used on bad people. That's what he just said. Okay? So, let me explain this. I've got one particular bill. It's a recurring monthly bill, and they are the most incompetent billers on the planet. Okay? I pay all my bills. I pay them all on time. I have no dings in my credit. I always pay my bills. And they, every month, say I owe double what I owe. Doesn't matter what I pay. I could pay $10,000. They're going to bill me next month and say I owe double what I owe. And I call them and I say, hey, how come it says I owe this much and it says I owe last month's too? And they'll say, oh, it's just an oversight. And you know what? It just, when the bill came out, it just included last month and this month. And I said, so how much do I owe? And the bill's $29 a month. And they'll say, you owe $58. Or they'll say, you owe $29. I said, okay, that's all I owe. Yeah, you don't owe anything. You already paid you last month. Okay, great. And so I will pay the bill like that. And next month, it comes and says the same thing. So I don't ask them. And I just go ahead and pay it. But about twice a year, they call me. Mr. Byram, we want you to know this is a thing to collect debt, and everything we're going to say is recorded, and we're seeking to collect debt. And I know what they're going to say. They're going to say, Mr. Byram, we see that you're a month behind. This happened this week. Okay, this happens twice a year at this company. And they said, we see that you're a month behind, and you owe us $60 right now. And so I wonder if today we could get you to make that payment of $60. And I said, when was my last payment? Because I've been through this conversation with them so many times. And they said, well, your last payment, oh, that's weird. You paid at the start of the month. Oh, you must have missed last month. I said, well, why don't you go to last month? Huh. You know what? He says you paid last month too. I said, just so you know, you guys do this to me all the time. I said, I want to pay my bill. I always pay my bill. I can afford to pay this bill. You just cannot keep your book straight. I said, I've been to this. I said, you're going to call me. You're going to look down there. You're going to see I paid everything. And I said, as soon as you find I haven't paid you, then call me back. And so then we hang up. The debt collectors aren't for me. Okay? They're for people who don't pay their bills. Okay? Do you ever get frustrated when someone's watching you because of a rule and you're not even wanting to break the rule? And you're going, listen, boss, you don't need to watch me. I'm not lazy. Your time and effort should be watching somebody else. You know what? You can go do something else. I'm going to work hard. You don't have to watch me. You know what I'm talking about? But they want to watch you anyway. Okay. So a lot of you, if all of a sudden President Obama and the Congress said, we just passed a law that there are no laws, a lot of your lives would not change at all, would it? Right? You wouldn't say, really? Well, there's no law. I guess I can go steal and go do drugs. And I'm going to go, you know, drink and drive. And I'm going to go rob my neighbor. And I'm going to go beat up some people I don't like. I'm just going to, you know what? There's no laws? Awesome! Most of you wouldn't do anything differently, would you? Yeah, that's right. We'd go into our caves and hide. And why? Because the law is not made for you. The law's made for the people who do bad things. Don't you hate it when you try to get the speed limit and the police pull you over? When you're not the one who's speeding normally? You're the one who's trying to keep the speed limit? Because I know who they're looking for, and those people need pull over. It's good. Pull those guys over. Arrest them. Fine. No problem. It's not for me. It isn't for me. And I want to say this. When you get into grace and fall in love with Jesus, the law is not for you. You don't need rules from God. Because you're going to love, you love your brother, you're not going to mistreat him anyway. Remember, love is a fulfilling of the law. You say, honey, you better be glad God told me to love you. Okay? You need the law. Okay? But the right kind of man who's full of love, he doesn't need to be told by God to be nice to his wife. Because he doesn't need the law. Because he does it. A lot of you don't need your boss to watch you, right? Because you'll work hard anyway. Matter of fact, you get more distracted. He's watching you. Because it bothers you, he's watching. You'd work hard anyway. And so understand, the Bible says the law is not. The law can be used lawfully. So let's go and bring and see whether it's the law of the land or Bible law. It is going to make someone guilty and someone realize they're doing something wrong and show them that this is wrong and they need to correct things. The law is a schoolmaster. But good Christians already love the Lord. They aren't going to go and steal. They don't need that law. You're not under the law. You're under grace. You want to do right. Okay? Because you have that. And let it judge you. First of all, underneath that, let it judge you ungodly. You do not need it. Listen, a law and police are not needed for good people. Now, let me say this. If you want to see a society that's being destroyed, and this is something you'll think about for a long period of time, you want to know where a nation is what kind of people does that nation punish? Wickedness punishes good people. And godliness punishes bad people. In America, you can murder a baby and be free. But God forbid you should not want to bake a cake for a homosexual. Okay? Our nation used to be a nation of good laws where good law-abiding people weren't afraid of their government. And now a whole bunch of us are going, you know, I'd really rather not the government pay too much attention to me. You start to get a little nervous about your government yet? And that's not a good thing. That means if you're a good person, I'm not nervous because I'm breaking laws. I'm not stealing and lying and cheating and doing bad things like that. But you know what? The government is starting to come after Christians a little bit. It's starting to come after churches a little bit. Just a little bit. We're still free. We're still blessed. We still got a lot of things. But I want to say, when a law is used lawfully, it's fine. And God is not after good Christians. Quit thinking God's against you. The law is not. Now that you're saved, you do not need the law. You should not have to have the law command you to do a bunch of things that you ought to love Jesus enough and do it because it's right, because you love the Lord. You ought to do it anyway. Let me read you some other verses. We said, first of all, don't let the law judge you ungodly. Secondly, don't need it. Do right without the judgment having to come on you. Next, walk in the Holy Spirit and you will be above law. You'll be above the law in Romans 8. And now when I say above the law, I'm not saying you're paying off a politician and you can't, or you don't have to keep the law. I'm saying you are living above the law, so the law is not going to go after you. Okay? And in other words, you are not sitting there saying, oh, the Bible has all these rules. I hate all these rules, all about rules. You don't understand. You know, a good employee doesn't say the boss fires people all the time for no reason. You know what I'm saying? It's bad. It's people who do wrong who say the stupid cops, all they're trying to do is ruin my life. Yeah. You know that cop, he just woke in the morning and said, I want to go ruin that person's life and arrest them. I have nothing else to do. Your boss, he has nothing else to do but write you up and fire you because you didn't show up to work. Listen, people who are doing wrong think it's all about the rules. And they get rebellious and they say, everything's a rule, 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 rule. Live high enough and nobody will give you rules. Amen. Thank you. Got one amen. Live high enough. Put your cruise control on 60. And the policeman and everybody else slams their brakes. And then you almost rear-end everybody else who's going. You start. You do not have to go 50 in a 60 for the police not to pull you over. Okay? Everybody slows down too much. But you know, you have to worry about it. Just relax. You're doing. You're living above. Walk in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. And verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, we can never keep it. God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Are we going to fulfill the righteousness of the law now? That's what it says. Who's going to fulfill the righteousness of the law? Those who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. Will fulfill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt honor your father and mother. Do you know what? Do you know? Oh, I hated it. My friend, Brother Roman White, Pastor White, I was sitting there, and I was, you know, not a good kid, and I got saved and started serving the Lord, and he went over, and right in front of my mom, he stands in front of my mom and says, he's a Christian now, he has to honor and obey you. Don't tell her that. Now she's going to be watching me. And he went and told her that. But you know what? I learned to honor and obey my mom. But did you know I didn't do it because I said, well, I'm going to keep her stupid rules because I have to. I didn't do that. I wanted her to get saved. And I wanted her to see a difference in me. And suddenly I wasn't angry about her rules. I'm saying, boy, I want to be above. I want to be a great kid. I want to be an example at home. Not because I have to, because I love my mom and she needs to see a difference in me. Do you see the difference? Now I'm like, oh, stupid rules. My mom gave me these rules. Now I'm a Christian. I have to keep them. Then I need law. But if I have something higher than rules that I have to do because I'm bad and are restraining me, and I get something higher, then all of a sudden, I can not need a. I don't need a commandment, because I'm going to do it because I, the law will be fulfilled in those who walk after the Spirit, and are concerned with spiritual things, and they have that. You go to a Christian school, you'll find kids who hate the rules and think the rules are stupid, and you'll find kids who just are happy to be in a Christian school because it's a better atmosphere. Because. Hopefully, some of them, and because why? Because the because they want that higher thing, and they have that. Let's see. Great. Read Galatians 6. You know how many times I've sat across from somebody in jail, and listened to them gripe about how ridiculous the sentencing is. And how unfair the judge is. And how the system is rigged against them. And I think, you know what I think? You know what? The law doesn't seem to do that to me. You know? I mean, if you put yourself in that position where you did the crime, and they'll admit they did the crime, but you know what? It's just not a fair system. Don't put yourself in the system. Ding, 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 ding. And you don't have to worry about it. And live above it. And you don't think the laws are stupid, and you don't think the rules are stupid. It doesn't concern me all that much what the penalty for perjury is. Okay, Grand Theft Auto, how long do you get in jail? Not too worried about it, right? How many of you are not worried about what the sentencing is for assault one? Not too worried about that? Okay, good. And now I'm not going to ask how many of you are worried about what the penalty is for speeding on I-5. I'm not going to ask that one, but we see here Galatians chapter 6 and verse. let's see if I got the right verse here. I think I got the wrong verse written. Let me just double check here. Yep, I got the wrong verse written down. So you know what? It's Ephesians. It's Ephesians 5, and it's Ephesians 5. I don't know who put a 6 in there. Galatians 5, start at verse 16 now. Big, long passage, you're going to say what I just said, but way better because it's the words of God. Galatians 5, like I said, and 16, You people who are under the law, just wherever you turn, it's all spiritual. And Galatians 5, and we'll start at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. But the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I told you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So walk in the Spirit. You don't fulfill the lust of flesh, because the flesh does these things. The Spirit does these things. And the things the Spirit does, there's no law against them. God's not going to say, you're loving too much. Stop it. You have too much joy. You don't have to worry if there's a rule in there about that. Okay? Because you're doing the right thing. I wonder if I witnessed too many people this week. Okay? Don't worry about it. There's no law when you're doing right. Okay? I wonder if I gave Pastor too much money this week. No, try it. I mean, you'll find out God will not get mad at you at any point. And doing good things. I wonder if I've honored my parents too much this week. Let me tell you, no. Okay? And so... Understand, there's these good things you fill your life with, and you forget about the commandments. And you say, did I used to be picky about all these little rules and think, I'm so far beyond that. I'm trying to have revival and change the world and win souls. All those little petty little sins, those things seem so small now. Why was I so concerned about all those little rules? Now I'm trying to change the world and get the power of God and see God do great things. Man, I got to do big things for God. God, give me your power. And Lord, I need your love and I need your joy and your peace, because the devil's attacking me. And pretty soon you're not, do I have to? Why do I have to go to church every Sunday? You're so far beyond that. Because your love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Next. Don't violate the law he wrote. Let me go back. Love, next is actually love and you will do more than the law. Romans 13. Love and you will do more than the law. Romans 13. Romans 13 and verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Pretty simple. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Guess what it says? And the Bible's so good in this. Okay, you'll understand it in this. You ready? Have you known the person who finds the absolute minimum, whether it's at work or at school? And I mean, what can I get by with possibly, and what's the absolute minimum I can do? And they find that, and whatever the minimum is, that's exactly where they're parked. You're right. That's not my job description. You know, it's like government workers 5 minutes for four times up. Don't try to get in the government office 5 minutes before, you know. Because, oh boy, I get myself in so much trouble with this. People who do not love what they're doing try to find the minimum. Do you know what's so funny? Do you know God doesn't tell you how often to go to church? You know, if he told you, you know, that's what most Christians would do. Oh, 3 Sundays a month? Okay. Do you know we would have way less attendance? We'd have everybody going. We'd have 75% of Christians going 3 Sundays a month and saying, that's what God says. That's the command. Not how many times can I go in a week? Because they want the minimum, because they don't have the love that fulfills the law. When you ever had a job you love so much, you didn't even care if you're on the clock anymore? Okay, well, a couple of, how many ever had a job you loved so much that you were just happy to do it, and you weren't, nobody had to watch you, and you'd spend a little minute time extra doing it because you liked your job so much, or you loved your boss so much, okay? And not everybody's had that, by the way. And I'm not saying everybody, sometimes you just never got that fortunate, and so you never worked at Boeing. No. You never got that fortunate. I'm kidding. So you go and you say, I want to do this. And so it's love fulfills it, and you want to do more, and you want to serve God. You know, I am terrible about this. I have no patience for do I have to Christians. I just don't. Oh, do you have to serve the God of the universe and get great treasure in heaven and let him use you and fill you with the Spirit? No. I'll do it myself. How many of you are, if somebody gripes enough, you'll just do it yourself, people? Like me. Oh, don't live the Christian life like that. The Christian life's awesome. It's love serving God. Next, don't violate the law he wrote in your hearts. Go back to Romans 2. I got to finish here. He didn't just write a written law of the Old Testament, which he did, but he also wrote a law on our hearts. Romans 2 and verse 12. It says, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. But when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature those things contained in the law, these having not the law were a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. Okay? God writes laws on man's hearts. Listen, you've met decent, unsaved people. Okay? God writes, most people know murder's wrong. Now, they might violate that. Most people know stealing's wrong. Most people know adultery's wrong. But they might violate it. Now, some cultures are so corrupt, you don't know that. America. But many times, people know that because it's built in. God writes in our hearts. So you don't necessarily have commandments of the Old Testament. If you follow the law that's been written on your hearts, you know that's wrong. If God has to tell you, don't kill them, then there's something probably wrong with you. If you're saying, oh, even the Bible says I can't kill them, oh, bummer. There might be more problems than you think. Okay, because there's something written in your heart and your conscience in you. Paul said, I try to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. Your conscience tells you things and smites you sometimes. And the Holy Spirit will too, but your conscience and tells you things are wrong. Next, don't judge, and I'm just going to just hit on this real quick. Don't judge what part of the law your brother does. Remember we said the Old Testament, you can keep parts of it and you can do those things and you can say this just violates my conscience. Romans 14, just real briefly. Romans 14. Verse 1. Context, eating meat that's forbidden in the Old Testament or that's been sacrificed to idols. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let him that eateth judge him that eateth not, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth? Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth it one day above the other. You want to meet on Saturday, I want to meet on Thursday, I want to meet on Friday. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day regardeth it to the Lord, doth he not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. And we could read this whole passage, verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge us rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So I can't take Saturday and Sunday are my busiest days. They are not my rest day. Monday's my rest day. Well, I think the Sabbath is truly Saturday. Well, I think that you should do it on Sunday. Okay, fine. Do it on Saturday, do it on Sunday. Don't judge me. If they judge me, I say, okay, thanks for your advice. Appreciate it. I don't have to defend myself. But I do Monday. I can't show you anywhere in the Bible it says take Monday off. I just know I'm exhausted. And I'm too busy Saturday and Sunday to take the day off. And so you do that. If I'm and if you find a brother that has part of the lie keeps and he's offended, and you say, you know, it really offends me when Christians eat pork, you know what I'm going to do? What am I going to do? Wave bacon in their face? You stupid guy, you're missing out. No. You know what I do? Order sausage around. No, that's right. I can't do that. But I will not eat around him. Lamb's good. I hear. But you can go and not offend them. Do not listen. If someone wants to keep part of that, or somebody doesn't want to, it's all fine. Go ahead. Just don't judge somebody because you are big on some part of the Old Testament, and they're not. And if somebody is, don't offend them. Try not to offend your brother. It's more important for Christians to get along. Remember the big picture? Love. So just chill out and enjoy those things. All right, let's pray. Lord, we got a lot covered tonight. Thank you. We're able to get through all this and all these passages. I pray you'd help us to, as we finish up in the law, understand it. Understand what we shouldn't do with it. Lord, there's some great principles in here, and help us to follow them. Help us to get where we love enough, where we don't even need all these commandments. They're small things that keep bad people out of trouble. But help us to just be fulfilling the law in love for you and love for others. There's the Ten Commandments. Boom. Thank you for that. Help us not to be a minimal Christian, but to be a love-filled Christian. It doesn't need somebody hovering over them. It doesn't need a bunch of rules and a bunch of commands and somebody to force them to go to church and check on them and make them and yell at them. Lord, make us just be people who love you enough. We want to do more and love serving you and be cheerful givers and cheerful Christians who love the Christian life because we love you so much and we love other people and are after such high, noble things. Make us not petty. And Lord, help us to not even need all the commandments, although they're great safeguards at the bottom in case we slip and we live above that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Understand all those things? Do you get that?